1 Thessalonians 4 and 3, let's read that verse again in Greek. Tuto, gar, essen, dilama, tu, diu, ho, digiasmos, himon, apekeste, himas, apo, pace, poneos. This is a powerful, powerful verse. Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church. This is one of the oldest pieces of the Bible in the New Testament. Now later he repeated himself in several other books. But 1 Timothy 4:1 and 2. Someone look that up for me. 1 Timothy 4:1 and 2. Romans 12 and 2. Colossians 3 and 10. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Ephesians 4:17 through 27, either any one of these that you want to get, you can do it. 2 Corinthians 4:16 and Ecclesiastes 1, 1 and 2. The Bible, you know, the Bible does not stand alone. Any verse in the Bible, how you know that the Bible is inspired is because it agrees, every verse in it agrees with other verses in the Bible. And Paul later wrote to different churches having the same problems that the Thessalonian church had. What were some of the things that was wrong in the Thessalonian church? You remember? From what we covered so far. I mean, this is a gigantic question that I just asked.
Immorality.
All right. That was one of the centers of the ancient world. And in this, it was a very materialistic society, for one thing, and a very immoral society, sexually immoral. You have to realize that the pagan religions of that day were sexual religions. Even back, if you go back into the book of Genesis, you find out, well, Ahab and Jezebel in their time, they had introduced into Israel pagan religion, which was sexual. Like I said last week, God gave man and woman a desire to be with each other. Men and women fit together perfectly. God made it that way. That's normal and that's natural. Okay? In our next verse, we're going to find out how to find a wife. But before we can get there, we have to finish this one. The Thessalonians, had brothels all over the place. It was just terrible. That's one of the oldest trades in the world. That word porneus there, that portrays that whole society. This very material, emotional, fleshly desires. They had men and women, prostitutes, women for women and men for men, which is not natural. God made man and woman, like I said, to sit together to care for each other. Romans, the first chapter we saw, there are some individuals in the world that God gives over to unnatural lust because they have refused to see God as He is. They have refused to look at God for who He is. God is the master of the universe. God has a right to say what's right and wrong. He does. We know that. Now, 1 Timothy 4:1 and 2, who grabbed that one? Brother Greg.
But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron.
All right. In the last days, the church age that we live in has basically been in the last days of the human race, if you really look at it. It's been almost 2,000 years, but that's very small compared to the rest of the time that man has been upon this earth. Those last days, it says that as time goes on, he would get worse and worse. You look back into the time of the Thessalonians, and you see all of the terrible things that were happening at that time, immoral things. The women living off of other women, men living off of other men in immorality. This was very common back then, and that's why Paul said this, don't do that. I don't want to see this among you. It's among the heathen out there, but don't let it be named among you. Don't do it. Don't let it be named among you. Well, that's what he wrote to Timothy when he wrote in 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. Now, Romans 12 and 12. Who has Romans 12 and 12? Brother Dennis.
12 and 12?
Yeah, Romans 12 and 12. No, 12 and 2, I mean.
Okay.
Romans 12 and 2. I don't know what's wrong with me. My brain was not working with my mouth.
Okay. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve that what God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect will.
All right. Don't be transformed to the world, but be transformed by God. God changes lives, doesn't he? He does, doesn't he? He changes lives. If you don't believe God changes lives, just come to my Sunday school class on Sunday morning. You'll see thieves, robbers, and killers in my class. I mean, the people that I have seen saved over the years, people that over the last 30-something years, I've seen people pull right out of the gang culture, right out of gangs, thought robbers and thieves, drugs, the drug culture, and God turns their lives around. Sometimes you'll see one person out of a family come, a wife or a husband. Sometimes the Lord divides the home because one won't come. And I've got examples of that in our Sunday school class. Got an example of one of my most faithful people in my Sunday morning class. He and his wife were both in gang and drug culture. Real bad. Both of them made professions of faith. But the man's profession of faith was real. The woman's profession of faith wasn't. The woman finally ended up dying in the culture almost 30 years later. It killed her. But he has remained faithful all of these years, down through the years. Sometimes it's the wife that is faithful. Or you see children that can reach their homes. Sometimes the child is saved, and that child, God turns that child's life around, and that child affects his mother and father, or her mother and father, to bring them to the Lord. I mean, the father is the absolute responsible factor under God. The man is the head of the home, and the man is supposed to lead your children right, and his wife right too, the right way. The man, you are responsible, man. Many times in Christian homes, and it can't be a Christian home really unless the father is a Christian kid, because it's a joke otherwise. If the woman has to be the spiritual leader in the home, you've got a mess. That's all out of order. It's better that the woman's a spiritual leader if the man isn't going to be, but God is still going to judge that man tremendously. If your wife is saved and you are not saved in a home, that man is going to be in a 10 times hotter place in hell than he would be if he was lost by himself. Because you are responsible to God for your whole family. Colossians 3 and 10.
I got it.
All right, brother, say.
And have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created it.
All right. Now, when God changes our lives, Brother Roger used a term the other day, an extreme makeover. God does extreme makeovers on people's lives. And he does, and you see it every day. That's the greatest witness in your life. It's the extreme makeover that God can do with you. That's what's really, really important. Your testimony and your witness is the most important thing. Better than your mouth, better than what you do as far as preaching to somebody. Your life is the greatest witness to your friends to lead them to Christ. And if you're saved, you ought to want to lead them to Christ. If you're saved, you ought to want to lead your mother and your father to Christ if they aren't saved. You ought to want to lead your brothers and sisters to Christ if they aren't saved. And your friends and your fellows, your acquaintances. God instills a love in you that makes you like Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's why He did it. That's what the movie is about. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14 and Hebrews 3 and 13. 1 Corinthians 2, 14. Who has that one? 1 Corinthians 2:14 and Hebrews 3:13. Brother Ken.
2:14.
Uh-huh.
But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned.
You cannot take your ungodliness to heaven with you. Did you know that? I showed you last week on a little thing on this blackboard up here. Man is triune. He is body, he is soul and mind, and he is spirit. When you're born again, the spirit is born again, and the spirit affects the mind. The body keeps on dying. But this spirit that was lost, and that spirit of disobedience that lives in every person that's lost, that's what makes you want to sin. That's what drives you on to doing the things that you did before you were lost. I mean, before you were saved. How many of you had a change in your life when that spirit was born in you? You can do exactly the same thing now that you did when you were lost. Except that you have a brand new mind in you. You have a makeover in you. You might have cussed real bad before. God can fix that. Because then when you start cussing and you start using God's name in vain, it starts hurting. And you do every time. I know a guy that every time he cussed, he just cussed up a storm. And every time that he would cuss, he would say, "Lord, forgive me for what I'm doing. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry." And he kept doing that. And if he was in public, if he went on his job, if something really made him mad and start cussing, he'd ask the Lord forgiveness right there. Start praying to the Lord, forgive me. For soon he didn't cuss much. For soon he didn't cuss at all. It hurts you to do that when you're saved. It's uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. Hebrews 3:13. Brother David.
But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin.
All right. Can a saved person keep on sinning? Have you been saved? It's possible. In the Corinthian letter, Paul told them that God killed some of them. If you are God's child and you keep on with your old sins, you bring back, you can't take them to heaven with you. I'm telling you that. If your life does not change, God will take you out of this world because He has no use for you here. You are here to witness for Him and to live for God when you're His. If you're not going to do that, then God will take you away because you are doing nothing but harm to the rest of humanity. If you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, then there's no use for you in this world. Ephesians 4:17, and it goes all the way through 27. 4:17 through 27. That's just cross reference to this verse right here, just like the button on your shirt. Brother Ken.
This I say, therefore, and kept my belief, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness.
There is the problem. Ungodliness. This hellish ungodliness is in the world, and God does not want it in His churches. If it gets in His churches, He will kill those people. Because you're not going to contaminate His churches. Did you know that? God won't allow it. I'm going to take you someplace. The Word of God says that the temple of God is God's temple. You are the temple of God. Who's He talking to? Huh?
Your
body. No. Who is it?
Believers.
Huh?
Believers.
Believers. But who is it talking about? Ye are the temple of God. Who is it? Thank you, brother. It's the church. Do not defile it, or God will do what? Destroy you. Does that make it plain? You cannot take your ungodliness in God's churches. If you do, He will cut you off. Don't do that. That's correct. Go ahead, Brother Ken.
Continue in verse 19. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have learned Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in the true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and
members of one another what? Where?
Church.
In a church capacity. We hear so much today about the universal church, all the saved are in the church. You know what? I don't see that in the Word of God. What I see is that all the saved are in the family of God. But every church is visible and local, and you can see it. And that's the only ones that I can see the Bible talking to. Every time you see somebody, the Bible referring to a church in the New Testament, it's a church. It's a church like Valley Baptist Church, or the churches that the Ephesian letter was written to. That was a circular epistle. Or the Colossians, or the Thessalonians. Every one of these are churches. Go ahead, Brother Kent.
Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give peace place to the devil.
All right. How do you keep on sinning when God is calls you to holiness and to be a witness? Because you give room, you make room for the devil. You give him room in your life. That's how you do it. You make room for the devil. That's how you do it. 2 Corinthians 4:16, and we'll quit there and we'll go over here to the next verse. 2 Corinthians 4:16. I know you got that, brother. I see you with that thing. Go ahead, Brother Dennis. He's cheating.
Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day.
That's what we're supposed to do. We're all going to die. If the Lord doesn't come back and rapture us, in the meanwhile, every one of us are going to die. And that's natural. That is a natural thing. And I'm going to tell you something else. It is a natural thing for a child of God to want and to desire the things of God. Why do you think you're here tonight? This is an advanced theology class, people. We don't have a whole lot of people here, but we've got some people here that are really interested in God's Word and going deep into God's Word. And I'll tell you what, When you get real deep into God's Word like this, it just kicks your teeth out sometimes, doesn't it? It fixes your, it rearranges your thinking. It's supposed to. Now, 4 and verse 4. How do you get a wife? That's what this verse is about. How to obtain a mate in holiness and honor. How do you do that? Edene. Hekaston. Himon. Ton. Kyoto. Skuos. Tateste. In. Diadosmo. Kai. Teme. Alright, to know each one of ye, the himself vessel. To acquire or to obtain it in sanctification and in honor. Now let's go back and look at this. He said, I want you to absolutely understand thoroughly. This is a perfect infinitive here. I want you to absolutely understand thoroughly each one of ye that himself, all right, or of himself, a skill. What in the world is skill?
Container.
Like a container. It is a vessel. It is a container. And right here, a wife is a very wonderful thing. If you find the right wife. If you find the wrong one, you just got nothing but a ball of fire. Nothing but the hell on earth. It's very important what kind of a counter, a juxtaposition human being you find. One that goes side by side, along in the same direction. Your counterpart. Your vessel. Wife is a vessel. What do you do with a wife? Well, you make a lifetime commitment with her. And she is a vessel. She is the reception or receptive of you in that she, in the Greek idea, she receives the seed which brings forth a child. That's what it means. She is the one that brings forth your children. She should be honorable. And she should be pure. And she should have the things of God on her mind. All right? And then this word kataste, that's present infinitive middle. Alright? And this means to acquire something. How to get something. Now what are you trying to get? This skuis. This wife, this vessel. Alright? How do you acquire a wife? Now how many of you have New American Standard? Anybody got New American Standard over there? Anybody have New American Standard? What have you got there, Brother Greg?
New American
Standard. Do you have any cross references in there or any explanations in there?
Large print, no cross.
Large print, no cross. Anybody else? What kind of a Bible you got there?
Okay, NIV and New American.
Okay, what's it say over there where it says that, how to acquire? Does anybody have a study? What do you got there, brother?
Same
as his.
Yeah, there's nothing.
Nothing in there. Well. Brother, Dennis, what do you have back there?
I have NIV.
Okay, what does it say in the middle column there where it says the word
it just has
possession?
It just has cross reference.
Nothing that requires, nothing that
no putting on. I've got a whole bunch of study Bibles at home.
Boy. All right. I just wanted you to look at something so you'd know that I wasn't joshing you. All right. You can read pretty good, can't you, brother?
I got my glasses on. All right, you got your glasses right there. Now, look at this verse down there. To each one of you, how to possess of his own vessel. Now, what does it look over? Look over in verse 4, and that's what it's going to say right there.
acquire.
All right, I don't apply. They just can't translate that. Because that's what it says. In the that's what the translation is. It's not to possess, but it's to acquire. How do you acquire a wife? First of all, hagiosmu. Hagiosmu. What does that mean? That means in a sanctified way, in a holy manner, not of earth. Paul is talking over here, verses 1 through 3, and the ungodliness of lust. But he says that it is natural for a man and woman to desire to be together, because God created that desire. It's not for men and men, it's not for women and women, and it's not just for sexual desire and pleasure. There's more to it than that. That is a God-given gift. Because you love to be a woman, loves to be with her husband. A husband loves to be with his wife. How do you find one in a godlike manner? Remember what I told you about hagiosmo last week? What does it mean? Hagiosmo. Sanctification. When you sanctify something. What does it mean? What did it mean in the ancient Greek world? When you sanctify something. Remember?
Becoming God.
You made it to become deity.
Not of this earth.
All right, not of this earth. All right. The Greek word means to make a god, make into a god. When God births you, you become like God. God, people ought to see God in you, because God is in you. That spirit is born of God, okay? That spirit now, that was the spirit of disobedience before, was the spirit of Satan, now is the spirit of God. Like God. Alright? Sanctification. Tied to make. And utter. The word Timothy means, the name Timothy means to be honorable and trustworthy. That's what it means. Hagiosmo. Tied to make. In a sanctified and an honorable way. How do you do that? How did God's people Israel, how did a man court a woman? Court. I didn't say day. Court. How did that happen?
He went to her parents.
And he told her parents that I'm an honorable man and I want to court your daughter for marriage. That's the purpose why I'm coming around here. But now I'm telling you that right now. I didn't come here to look at the pig. I didn't come out here to look at your cows or the sheep or your wonderful tent. I came out here to court your daughter because I want to marry her. All right? And you know what? They hadn't even seen their faces yet. Because they had a veil on. They wanted a wife that would bring honor to them.
The attraction then was the way that the parents were
raised,
and hoping that she was the same way.
That she would be like mom. When you wanted to acquire a wife, you looked at the mama first. And hope that the child would be like mama. That makes a whole lot of, I tell you what, that means a whole lot. 1 Corinthians 7, 2 and 9, 2 Corinthians 4 and 7, 1 Peter 3 and 7, Romans 1, 24. The next verse says that an ugly Christian woman is a lot better than a beautiful worldling. Well, we're getting down real personal with things, aren't we? You know, I think it was Joseph Smith or what was the counterpart there?
Brigham
Young. Probably Brigham Young. And said that he brought Mormonism into this world so that a woman, even if she had a face as long as a horse and ugly, could have a husband too, even if she had to share it. No woman was too ugly to not have a husband. Well, that didn't come out of the Bible. But you know what? A Christian woman, if she is beautiful from the inside out, makes up for a lot of ugliness. It really does. Because you can have a very pretty woman that's very ugly. Born verse 5. May. In. Pathe. Epithemios. Kathapir. Kai. Ka. Ethna. Ta. May. Edota. Tone. Theon. Not in Pompeii. Not in Pompeii. What is that talking about? Our word passion comes from this. Not in passion. So, if you look at a woman in passion, how are you looking at her? The wrong way. Now, you ought to look at your wife in passion. That's what you're supposed to do. But that's later. The first reason for you to desire a woman to be your wife is not what she looks like. Because the Bible says what here? Right off the bat, what does it say? Not in what? Not in passion. And epithemios. The word thermos comes from this word. You know what a thermos is? It holds in heat. You know? And then epi on the front of it means what, Brother Ken? Intensifies it. Now he says it again. Not in passions or lust. Heated up desire. Just as awful also ka ethna. Don't act like a heathen. Women, when you're looking for a husband, don't act like a heathen. Because the heathen women look for the pretty guy. It gives us, and the Bible gives us ugly women a chance. Don't look for just pretty. Like the Gentiles do. They're just worldlings. They're just doing what the flesh says. The Gentiles, the ethnic. Ta me. The Gentiles. Alright? The Gentiles not having understood the God. The Gentiles not having understood the things of God. That's why they're like that. I remember one time that, now if I can think his name, Frank Gibson got up and told this on himself. He said, I married one of the prettiest women that I ever laid my eyes on. He said, that woman, he said, I left my wife for her, and I married her. And he said that marriage lasted exactly 6 weeks. That's how long the passion took to wear off. And then after that, we couldn't stand each other. Well, he said that was a big mistake. He said I had to learn that lesson the hard way. The hard way. Can we acquire a husband a wife like the world does? Every now and then you luck out. You know that? Every now and then you luck out. Just God watches over idiots and little children. Every now and then you luck out. But don't bet on it. All right? If you want to find a wife, if you want to find a husband, you better do it God's way. Don't really go looking outside of God's house for it. You might find some mistakes there. Even in God's house, sometimes that's not the right person. Be very careful. Don't go at a courtship with passion or love. That's not the right thing to do. That's the wrong reason. Because that's what the world does, isn't it? Isn't that what the world does? Can you turn on your television? You know, my daughter gets mad at me because I don't like her watching public television. What I mean is ABC, CBS, and NBC. I don't like her. I bought her a lot of movies because I know what to put in the movies. But the commercials are ungodly. And they train children's minds, they train adults' minds, they train old codgers and old ladies' minds in an ungodly fashion. If you disagree with me, you can disagree with me. That's all right. But you're wrong. Because that's exactly what it does. Everything that is on television has one thing and purpose. To sell you something. Sell you youth in a bottle. Happiness in a bottle.
Seems like they're trying to sell homosexuality.
Yes. Brother, the Bible from Genesis to Revelation condemns that. He destroyed five cities because of it. And we don't have to retry that situation again. Because God has already spoken. It's pitiful. But the world tries to sell God's people. And sometimes we turn it on. 4 and verse 6. Toll. May. Keeper. Bonnet. Hi, Leonectane, and To, Prognosti, To, Adelphone, Altu, Diote, Ecticos, Kyrios, Peri, Pontone, Tutone, Kathos, Kai, Proet, Pamen, Amen. Kai. Diamatura Mecha.
Diamatura.
All right. It says, do not to go beyond and to lead astray in any of these matters the brother of him. What's it talking about? What's it talking about? Who's the letter written to?
Church.
A church. He's talking about people in churches. And what are you not supposed to do? Don't go around leading each other in church astray. Don't defraud one another. In this pragmatic matter, what pragmatic matter are we talking about? Marriage. Courtship. Dating. Because the avenger, Jehovah, concerning all these. Jehovah is the avenger. What? Did God warn to you about earlier? Do not get saved and bring the ungodly worldliness into God's churches because God will judge you now. John in 1 John says, these things I write unto you, little children, that you might know that you have been saved. They tell us those things. These things. Now tonight, in the last 2 weeks, I taught almost 2 weeks on one verse because we have to tie all of the other things in the Bible to it. Do you understand what 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3 says now? Huh? Do you understand what it says? is talking about sexual purity. Absolutely. God wrote all these verses that we have studied the last 2 weeks about sexual purity. And it says, don't go sail around. That's what the word defraud means. Play on, that means to sail around. To sail around and to grab and give. Right here it means to sail around in its infinity, present infinity is active. It means to sail around and to grab a hold of everything you see.
Kind of like if you can use the word pirate.
Yeah, be a pirate. Pirating. A pirate. Don't go around and hyperbono. Lombono means what? To receive or to get something. Hyper means what?
Yeah.
To get more. Don't go defraud. Don't go grabbing everything in sight. Don't go kissing every woman you see. Don't go kissing every man you see and laying designs on him just because you want him, just because he's pretty, or just because she's pretty. Especially not your brother or your sister. Because the Lord, Jehovah, is the judge concerning all these matters, just as, indeed, we told you beforehand. And we solemnly witness to you. Look at that word. Via matura meta. First aorist, indicative, middle. First person, plural. We solemnly witness to you. We warned you beforehand. Don't go that way. 4 and verse 7. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 7. Who? Nar ekalesen himas ho theos epi akarthasia all en tiga hagiasmo. All right, and I should give you some other verses to want to go with the last part of, or with verse 6. 1 Corinthians 6 and 8. 2 Corinthians 7:11, Romans 12:19 and 13 and verse 4, Luke 16 and verse 28, 1 Thessalonians 2:11, and Hebrews 2 and 6. Now 1 Peter 1:15 and 1 Thessalonians 2 and 3 go along with this verse. Alright? For not he called us. The word ekklesia is in this word here. Huh? Is it? What is the word ekklesia?
Gathering.
One's called out. All right. Can you give me the chapter in the New Testament where the Lord started calling out His assembly? We referred to it last Sunday morning when we were studying about Mary. Where, if I ask you, Brother Ken,
you don't have that little thing, won't help you now.
I'm not using it.
I know you're not.
I haven't taught you yet.
Not on my own. What's wrong? Do all enough. Gospel according to Matthew 4 and verse 20. 4 and verse 19, I think. That's where he starts calling out his assembly.
And he says to them, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men.
All right. Go on just a little further.
And they immediately leaving the net, followed him. And going on then, he saw other two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of him, in the boat with Zebedee, the father of them, mending the net of them, and he called them.
All right. That's the church. That's what the word is here. God calls us.
Where are we when we are lost, by the way? Then the devil's hands are. We're in.
The devil's way. Because that was the spirit that energized you. The spirit that works in the children of disobedience. The word disobedience there means the ones that were not persuaded. And then God, by His Spirit, He convicts you of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. That's what gets you saved. And then you feel the call of God, and you come to God, and you beg for His mercy. You don't beg for justice, that's for sure. Jesus, if you saw the movie The Passion, that's what we deserved. We deserved the beatings, we deserved the crucifixion. That was like an eternal hell. That's what we deserve. What we beg for is mercy when we come to God and say, God, forgive me of sin. And then the Spirit is born in us, that Spirit of God. All right? Instead of little triune devils that we were before, controlling the devil controlling our mind and the mind controlling our body, we have the Spirit of God now that's in us controlling our mind, which controls our body. And then we become like God. We become godly people instead of ungodly little buzzards. For not He called us. Look at that word there. First aorist, indicative, active. Brother Kim, tell me about this. He called us.
First aorist, indicative, active.
Third person singular, He did it.
He did it, yeah. I'm trying to figure out
first aorist tense.
Aorist tense, He did it one
punctiliar time. Punctiliar action. You get saved once.
Not once, called once. Mm-hmm. Saved in the fact that, you know, it did happen. No, it hasn't about that.
That's right. Active voice, He did the acting.
And He called us out of the world.
That's right. And then He mocks. That's accusative plural, second personal pronoun. He mocks. And then who did it? Hotheos. Who is the actor in this verse? Who is the subject in this verse? Hotheos. Not when he's singular masculine. God is the subject here. But who is He acting upon? Who is the object in this verse? Who is the object? Huh? All right. Those that are called of God, they are the objects. Okay? So God acts upon us, and He calls us out. And then He says, Epi, Akha, Thari, Rasin. Well, I'll get it right in a minute. Akha, Tharsia. Kartharsia. We hear about catharsis.
You ever heard that word? Unpure?
Yeah. Ah is on front of it.
Because it would be the same word.
Catharsis means cleanse. Right. All right, catharsis means to cleanse, but Akatharsia, what is that? That's uncleanness. He didn't call us to uncleanliness. Strong adversity of conjunction. Allah is shortened here for euphony. Allah is shortened to Allah. Allah is shortened to Allah, that is. In hagiasmo. Sanctification. Otherworldliness. Heavenliness. Just think about that. When God sanctifies your life, He makes you heavenly. You start acting like a citizen of heaven instead of a worldling. Don't you? You know, in the last century, the old preachers in the first part of the last century, he called ungodly buzzards. He called them worldlings. He said, sometimes they'd get up and say, this church is made up of worldlings. Today, all of you have your little worldling ambitions. Oh, I tell you what, it's got worse. Heaven. It's got worse. 4 and verse 7. 1 Peter 1:15 and 1 Thessalonians 2 and 3. Go to 1 Peter 1:15 for me, please. It's fast. You can do that fast. I'll catch you up again.
Almost.
Who's got 1 Peter 1:15? You got that, Brother Greg?
Yeah.
1 Thessalonians 2 and 3.
but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in your behavior.
All right. That's what we've been talking about. It talks about a holy behavior. A behavior that is not of earth. Don't act like the rest of the world. God called you to better things. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 3. Now, we covered that a few weeks ago. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 3. You got that, Brother Dave?
For our exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by way of deceit.
Don't let the world convince you to sin. Your job is to change the world idea. You are supposed to go out into the world and show them Christ. Show them what it is, what a Christian is like. That's what you're supposed to do. Well, thank you for your endurance tonight of these hard seats. I sat on them also at different times. And I know sometimes it's pretty hard to do. I hope you learned something from God's Word. I hope God's Word touched your heart tonight. Because that's the whole purpose of us being here. Is to learn things God's way. The whole world has you the rest of the week. So I'm going to just pour it on you when you get here. I'm going to tell you what God wants for your life. And He'll do the rest. That's all I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to nurture you in the Word. God has given me that calling and that anointing, that place of service, and that's what I'm supposed to do. So I try to do it. If you have any disagreements with God's Word, you're not disagreeing with me, you're disagreeing with the Holy One of Heaven. Because all I'm doing is telling you what it says in His inspired Word. Brother Ray, it's good having you, brother. Could you dismiss us in prayer tonight?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this evening. Brother Jim's words tonight were so educational, revealing to me that I can just